If the Catholic Church can be accused of sometimes making too much of Mary, it's equally true we Protestants make too little of Mary. And our passage this morning shows us how we should receive Mary and what Mary has to teach us. We see this morning that Mary is the first one to receive Jesus, the first Christian, and we see the example of Mary's faith. From Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, let us hear the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In my final year of seminary, I attended something that was called a face-to-face event. And it took place at a hotel specifically booked for the event. And basically what it was, all the churches in that geographical region looking for a new pastor gathered in the same spot as all the new pastors looking for a new church, or in my case, the first one. It was horrible. It was one of the worst things I've ever been through. It started out, they decided to have a creative worship service. They gave us a pebble. I never did figure out why. But at some point, they passed around Wes and oil, and we were all supposed to anoint each other. And I didn't want my hair messed up because I was going to interview with churches. But anyway, one memory of that event stands out. I knocked on the door of one of the hotel rooms where I was going to interview with the search committee of a small church in the Shenandoah Valley. And picture your standard hotel room. There are two chairs around the table, then there's the two beds. And most of the committee was sitting on the bed, of course. One chair was vacant. That clearly was my seat, the hot seat. The other chair, however, was almost blocking the entrance into the room. It had been set up right in front of the door, and sitting in it was Methuselah, or at least one of his female descendants. And I knocked and I opened the door. There she was, and there was no greeting. There was no hello. There was no, "We're so glad you've decided to interview with us today." Instead, she fixed me with a stern look and she pointed her finger and she said, "Young man, do you believe in the virgin birth?" It was clearly pass fail. I could tell. I was not going any further into that room unless I gave the right answer. Well, I honestly and truly said that, yes, I did. And then she smiled and she welcomed me and I got to sit in my chair. I did not go to that church. Are you surprised to learn? You know, I've never really had trouble with the virgin birth as an article of faith, though I've known many who have struggled with that in some ways. It's just always seemed to me that if God can create the heavens and the earth and all that dwells therein, then it probably was no big deal for him to bypass the ordinary means of human procreation in the case of Jesus. I mean, he's the one who invented the means of human procreation in the first place. The thing that I find most challenging about the virgin birth is not how the Son of God came to be conceived in Mary's womb. It's rather Mary herself and how she could so quickly and completely consent to God's call to allow Jesus to be conceived in her. That she would so readily do so, to say yes so quickly to something that was going to so dramatically change the course of her life. That's what amazes me, that she could say, "Let it be to me according to your word." What amazes me about the virgin birth is the faith of Mary. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's hard enough, don't you think, even to take in what an angel is telling you? There's a reason angels always have to say, "Don't be afraid." People are terrified when angels show up. So I suppose, should an angel visit us in the fashion Gabriel visited Mary, we would at least be intensely interested in figuring out what the angel was going to say. But Mary, taking all of this in, even if awed by Gabriel's appearance, still seems to have been thinking in the back of her mind about what saying yes was going to mean for her. I mean, thinking how inconvenient, how downright difficult the consequences of what this angel was asking was going to be for her. Because she had enough sense to turn to Gabriel and say, "Well, how's this going to be? I'm a virgin." Which tells me she was thinking clearly enough to probably also be wondering, you know, how were her parents going to react when she began to show while still claiming to be a virgin? And her fiancé Joseph, how was he going to respond when she assured him with a belly out to here that no, she had never been with another man? She had to have known already how the neighbors were going to gossip in this small little village where everybody knew everybody's business. The suspicious look she was going to be receiving in the marketplaces, the whispers when she would walk by, as well as some people coming right up into her face and questioning her character and her morality for what obviously seems to be a sin. And then not to mention how all of this was going to upset the plans that she had no doubt made for herself, for her life, for how she thought things would unfold with Joseph, these dreams she had been keeping about the happiness she was going to find in her marriage with him. I mean, all of this surely running through Mary's mind as she listens to what Gabriel says the Lord intends for her. She had to know in that moment how very hard this was all going to be if she were to consent to what Gabriel was saying, to agree to what God wanted to do. And yet, when the angel is finished, all she says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And that's what I find hard to grasp about the virgin birth, the extraordinary faith of Mary. I can't help but wonder, would I have said the same thing if I was in Mary's place? Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." My fear is the best I would have come up with is, "Well, let me get back to you on that. And maybe if I was having a good day, I believe, but help my unbelief." Not an unconditional, unhesitating yes like Mary, but something less. I mean, what would you have said? I mean, suppose you go home today and waiting for you in the driveway is an angel standing in front of you, asking you to let him completely turn your life upside down, make it much harder and yet also much deeper than it currently is, ask you to exchange all of your personal schemes and plans and dreams for the dreams and plans and schemes God has instead chosen for you. And what do you say? And what do you say? How would you answer? I just don't know if I have the faith of Mary in me yet. Do you? Although I suspect none of us can really know the measure of our faith until we are in such a situation when our faith is truly being tested. But I thought about that a lot this week, and you know, here's the thing. In a very real sense, we are in Mary's position already. Doesn't even need to wait for an angel to show up. In fact, I think we're in Mary's position every single day. Ever since Mary gave birth to her son, ever since he lived and taught and died and rose again, and ever since we first said our own personal yes to his initial offer of amazing grace and became one of his disciples, we, in a sense, have been continually in the place of Mary, because what God asked of Mary is, in a very real sense, what God keeps asking also of us, that we should surrender self and yield to Him. That He should be allowed to abide in us, not just as our Savior, but also as our Lord, the one who directs and calls the shots. That His will should overshadow our will in much the same way that the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, so that He takes up residence within not our wombs, but certainly our hearts, our heads, our actions, our desires. That Christ should be born not just in Mary, not just in Bethlehem once upon a time, but born in us daily. I mean, just listen to some of the stuff Jesus said. He said we must die to self before we could truly rise into new life with Him. Listen to Jesus in that Garden of Gethsemane, His supreme test. And He's praying, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And then realize that that's exactly the same prayer He taught us to pray every day. That same prayer we sometimes so carelessly pray together on Sunday mornings. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Do we even hear what we're saying? Not our will, His. Not what we want, but what He wants in us. Listen to Paul. I've been crucified to Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. To have my voice, but Him speaking. My steps, but Christ leading. My heart, but His love beating in me, through me, with me. What's it like to have Christ on the inside? To tap His strength when mine expires, or feel the force of heaven's fires raging, purging wrong desires. Could Christ become myself entire? So much Him, so little me, that in my eyes it's Him they see. What's it like to a Mary be no longer I, but Christ in me? Is that not what God was asking of Mary? And is that not also what God is asking of you and me? We're called by the name of Mary's son. No longer I, but Christ in me. And let's be honest, what God is asking now of us is indeed every bit as difficult and inconvenient and countercultural and somewhat embarrassing to our minds and in our lives as what God asked of Mary. I mean, saying yes to God meant Mary was embarking on a path that would render her a square peg in a round hole of her village life, of her engagement to Joseph. But isn't God asking the same thing of us? To become transformed into a square peg that fits into His kingdom instead of letting ourselves be continually conformed to the round hole of this world, this culture, this village around us. One of my favorite Frederick Buechner quotes says it rather forcefully and fancifully. He writes, if the world is sane, then Jesus is mad as a hatter, and the Last Supper is the mad tea party. The world says, mind your own business, and Jesus says, there's no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success, and Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully, the life you save may be your own. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. Jesus says, love. The world says, get. And Jesus says, give. In terms of the world's sanity, Jesus is crazy as a coot. And anybody who thinks he can follow him without being a little crazy too is laboring less under the cross than under a delusion. We are fools for Christ's sake, Paul says, faith says. The faith that ultimately the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. The lunacy of Jesus, saner than the grim sanity of this world. And Mary says, yes, even so. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Is Mary's faith just another of those unrepeatable Christmas miracles like the star in the sky and the angel host above the shepherds? Or could it really be ours, Mary's faith? Can that same willingness, openness, trust, and assent, sacrifice be in us? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus, let it be to me according to your word. You cannot serve both God and money. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Jesus, let it be to me according to your word. If anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Jesus, let it be to me according to your word. Could that be our faith, the faith of Mary? Could it truly take root and grow within our hearts, our minds? Yes, says Mary's son, which, when you think about it, it's kind of the only vote that matters. 1,000 times, yes, he tells us, by the power of his grace at work within us. His disciples, remember, after they had heard him converse with the rich young ruler who went away sad, turned to Jesus and said, well, who can be saved? And he says with words that are actually a promise, what is impossible with human beings is possible with God. What we on our own could never do, Christ can and will do in us if we will open the door. And what Christ intends to do in us, Christ also promises to do for us. The real miracle of Christmas is not the virgin birth. The real miracle of Christmas is that the Holy Child, born of Mary's womb, born of Mary's faith, has enabled all of us now to be reborn, to be born again, to be born anew, to be born from on high, to become like him, children of God, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, of will of man, but of God. He can and he will enable us to say it and to mean it, to believe it, and to live it. Let it be to me according to your word. You know what? Say it with me. Let it be to me according to your word. Say it again. Let it be to me according to your word. Like a prayer this time. Let it be to me according to your word. Let's keep saying that together. Praying that together. The faith of Mary. Until together. To have my voice but him speaking. My steps, but Christ leading. My heart, but his love beating in me, through me, with me. No longer I, but Christ in me. Amen.